Autobox, great to be with you as always. I'm Jeff Cameron. That is Tom Lang. And we're talking about another Bucks victory, this time in blowout fashion. Bucks roll easily. Kind of thought they'd win the game. We thought it might be a bit of a slog, Tom, when we talked on Friday. We thought maybe just maybe it wouldn't be a game that Tampa Bay would play all that well in. Just, I don't know why, where it sat on the schedule, the injuries, a desperate Dolphins team, all that stuff. And for about a half, it looked that way, and then the floodgates open up and the Bucks win easily, which is great to see, because you were kind of two fingers to your eyes, two fingers to them, just to see where they were at.
They even said it before the game started that they were going to manage some of their veteran players in the snap counts because they're playing again on Thursday. And you're already banged up to begin with. And yeah, 24-17, you're thinking, all right, clearly we are the better team.
Yeah, yeah. They never felt like you could lose the game.
But circumstances have put us in a position that if we don't score a touchdown here, then Miami has the ball with a chance to tie it. The good news is we go on the drive of the weekend for me, for the Bucks, and that was one that put us up 14 points again. Systematic, surgical, you name it. This offense, I was hoping to see a professional effort out of the offense.
Yeah, you got it.
They clocked in. They went to work. Brady was magical. The running game looked good. That's the best Leonard Fournette has looked. I know he's had other games that might have more flashy plays, but run for run, catch for catch, that guy got downhill in a different way yesterday. High marks across the board for that offense. The defense you could forgive because of how banged up it is.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like each week we're going to have a situation where we're perfectly capable of criticizing certain aspects of what the Bucks do. That's true of every team every week. But I also think that it's going to be us searching and nitpicking a little bit. Some of what ails the Bucks right now has to do more with injuries than anything else. Like, I don't think schematic – like, last year we were talking so much about what they weren't doing – throwing on first down, weren't throwing off a play action. Things we know Brady does exceptionally well. He's the best play action passer in NFL history. We were complaining about scheme to some extent. We were complaining about misuse of personnel to some extent. I really think this regular season, and that's not to get you to skew away from the scuttlebucks. There will always be insight and interesting things to point to. But especially when you're talking about a Super Bowl champion trying to make another run and trying to win back-to-back Super Bowls. But the Bucks are going to win these games because it's a part of the schedule, Tom, that's just not great. I mean, they just play teams that they're simply too talented for. Unless they have some bad, turnover luck. Maybe they break down on special teams or something weird like that. The Bucks are going to win most of these upcoming games. And this was the first of that bunch we were talking about.
Yeah. Or red zone issues like they had against the Patriots.
Right.
And what happened? That game is really, really close because, you know, you're trading and instead of seven, it's threes. And then those fours add up. You know, we would have been into the 30s if we cash in the red zone against the Patriots. And that was another thing that heading into this game, I know there were a lot of bomb touchdowns, long shot touchdowns. But I wanted to see how we would execute in short yardage without Rob Gronkowski. Now that that was exposed as a weakness, do you take the steps to fix that problem so in case it comes up again down the road, you've got solutions for it? Again, we did. Yeah. Like, every question I had yesterday was answered from the offense. That's a great place to be. And it was a place where I had to catch myself this morning being that guy. I felt for a moment like I lived in Boston, and it really was ugly. And I was like, ugh, I can't be a guy from Boston. Because I saw the odds were released this morning saying Josh Allen is now the front runner for league MVP. I'm like, no, he's Tom Brady is having a way better season. And I looked it up, and I thought maybe I should tweet this out. And that's when I said, oh, nope. You know what?
Don't be that guy.
He's our quarterback now, but let's not be that guy. He's thrown for nearly 400 yards more than Josh Allen. He's thrown for two more touchdowns. He's thrown for the same amount of interceptions. And even with all of Josh Allen's ability with his legs, Tom Brady has a higher quarterback rating, a higher completion percentage, and a higher QBR, which takes into account quarterback's legs. All that while his defense has given up more than 10 points, more than the Bills have week for week. We've given up 120 points. They've given up 60. You tell me who's more valuable between a complete Bills team that's playing really well on both sides of the football right now and the Bucks, who are banged up on defense, and Brady's carrying the day.
Yeah.
It's Brady so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it, though. I mean, there's so much football to be played. And I would also say I do think the Bucks ultimately do have more weapons on offense than any team in football. And I do think he'll be punished for that. Because even though he's utilizing them properly and he's kicking ass and having a great year, people are going to be like, yeah, well, you're playing with an all-star team. And they kind of are. And by the way, to that point, did you read the quote from Richard Sherman was actually Leonard Fournette's quote. Did you read this quote? It's great. So I got to put this out there. Prior to the third quarter, Richard Sherman comes over and says, "I've never been a part of a team with so much talent," said Leonard Fournette. And I'm telling him, "Man, excuse my language, but this shit is different around here. We can score anytime we have the ball. You have multiple, in my opinion, what I consider Hall of Fame players everywhere, Pro Bowlers, all over this field all the time. And that's not to mention we're still missing Gronk." That's Leonard Fournette's quote. That is a great quote. And it is 100% accurate. It's ridiculous. Imagine trying to be a defense, let alone not a good one, trying to slow this down. And again, the Bucs don't even have all of their weapons. I mean, throw Gronk in and it's completely unfair.
Yeah, yeah.
It is silly. It really is silly. And listen, all you can do is make the most of it. The Bucs earned this. They put themselves in a situation where they could take a gamble and move away from their first-round pick in Jameis Winston, who they thought was going to be the franchise quarterback, and they had hoped he would be. And there were times that he showed flashes as if he could be. There were other times where he really let you down. You get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to grab Tom Brady. And what's unfortunate about what's happened with the Bucs since the moment they got Tom Brady has been that people forgot, and I guess this is natural because Tom Brady is such an outsized personality in terms of his stature in the game. But the reason Brady chose this roster was because what was built long before he came here. Now, it helped to get Gronk to come in, and it certainly helped to add AB, who's got a lot of gifts.
And Tristan Wirfs.
Tristan Wirfs coming in. That was the draft pick, though. The Bucs earned that. That's a draft pick,
yeah,
right?
I know. But
so the draft in general, the Bucs have done an extremely good job. Jason Light deserves a ton of credit. Brady's looking at this roster going, oh, they're ready to win. They're ready to win. And if I come, I can get Gronk to come and forget about it. Then maybe in due time I can convince them to take AB. But he's got to get his act together. We'll see. But even in at that moment, he realizes, well, they're loaded for bear. They've drafted well on defense. They've made good decisions in free agency. I mean, at the time that we picked up Sue, we thought, okay, maybe back in, maybe you get a year. He's played well for the Bucs. Yep. He's been a good player. JPP, taking him on after the hand injury or mishap. You know, all that. That's crazy, right? It's worked out. He's been a good player. So, I don't know. I as a franchise, I wish the Bucs were in position to get more credit because of what they built prior to Tom Brady. Now, obviously, he's the cherry on top, the creme de la creme, the best player to ever man that position, and so you can't overlook that. But I do think the Bucs did a lot to put themselves in a position to get the most out of an all-time run.
Yeah.
And that leads me to my next point, Tom. I mean, you and I were talking off the air. Brady's still throwing the ball. This is your point about him being an MVP right now. He's still throwing the ball in a way that reminds me of a 25-year-old, 27-year-old. He can make every throw that you ask him to make to any quadrant of the field. He's got touch. He's got power. He can drive the ball through the wind down the field. Obviously, his pre-snap has always been incredible. But really, any throw, leading backs out of the backfield, he's exceptional at. The intermediate route, he's really good at. Obviously, if he needs to put touch and just loft in air, he can do that. If he's got to fire it into tight windows, he does that too. This is insane. This window we thought might be 2 years max. I don't know, Tom. Maybe the storyline is that the Bucs could be really good for the next 5 years because if he's going to play until he's 47, 48, and right now I have no reason to doubt that he can, then you've got the greatest quarterback to ever do it for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little goofy.
It is.
I mean, you know, we're into the second, third week of October, technically, in NFL terms, once we play Thursday night against Philadelphia. If we get to 2 months from now in a 17-game season and his arm still looks this live, then, yeah, I mean, we have to fully expect that as long as he wants to play the game of football, the next 3 years are in play beyond this season.
It's nuts.
Which is crazy because that means you've gone from a flash in the pan back-to-back run or dynasty-ish run to a full-blown dynasty. You've got a real chance at that level of success where you could put yourself against other NFL dynasties over a 5 to 6 year span. And that's a legitimate period of time where you have to see roster turnover and continuity and all those types of things with your key players, like you're talking about,
right. Hitting
in the draft.
Yeah.
It's not just you assemble an all-star team, Wayne Huizenga, sell off the all-star team. You got the championship you were looking for. we could be looking at something different. And that gets really, really fun because you're right. The efficiency metrics are off the chart, but it's not because it's all dink and dunk.
No, no. He challenges.
These are shots down the field.
It's so incredible. You know, that's another game where you score more than 30 points again. You know, you that was the number.
Yep.
We talked about. You're like, all right, what's going on here? Why have we been scoring less than 30? Well, here you go. Here's 45 for that ass. You know, just like that. It's amazing.
But you want to see that defiance in your team where that could be a sleepy game where you win by a few points. I mean, you saw a lot of those around the league yesterday. Mm-hmm. What crazy finishes they had in the 1 o'clock window. This league can do that to you. The Patriots learned the hard way. Mm. They tried to find a way to lose to Houston.
Ooh.
And I was worried that we'd see an effort like that where either we get stalled in the red zone or, you know, somebody would just make a boneheaded play. But no, man, that is the Brady effect, and that's where he changed this franchise. You know, we can relitigate till, you know, the cows come home, what happened with the previous quarterback and all that. But what we saw and what we learned last year is when it comes to preparation and habits, that Brady effect is real.
It is.
And it continues. An effort like yesterday where you dropped 45 in what amounts to, is tantamount to, an opportunity for you to maybe take a nap and win a game in a lazy way. They did not win that game in a lazy way. They went and took it. That's the Brady effect.
Yeah, that's motivation where you would think there wouldn't be. And that is his being a red ass and working that hard each and every day. And you have no choice. I mean, you can't be in that locker room and not show up to work your tail off when that guy, who has every right to kind of coast through the week if he'd like, doesn't. You have to show up. I mean, it's incredible. The other thing, too, is like the efficiency numbers, and you're talking about what he's doing through the air. The Bucs yesterday, 4 of 5 on third down in the red zone. They were also, what were they?
Well, the kneel down was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the kneel down was the last one, so they would have been 100%. They were 8 of 11 on third down yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, goodness gracious.
So if there's a power ranking of who does Brady go to in crunch time, Gronk is still number one, right? We think Gronk is the first target.
I think it's the number one target if he's got to have a play. Yes, although it's starting to become Evans.
See, now that's interesting. We could debate this because I think it's 81. I think Antonio Brown's the guy he turns to. It's the first place he looks because I think he trusts Antonio Brown to be where he's supposed to be more than he does Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin always gets doubled, so that's a tough one.
Yeah, Godwin's getting doubled all the time, and this is a fun debate because what it brings to the table is, again, the embarrassment of riches. Well, let's see. Who do I trust more, a Hall of Fame receiver in Antonio Brown – or a potential Hall of Fame receiver in Mike Evans, or the heart and soul of the team, who's also an all-pro caliber player in Chris Godwin.
Who could paint his way, you know, and a resume in five years' time to where you say bona fide Hall of Fame.
Right, could indeed, but certainly he's a Pro Bowl caliber player for
easily.
Now.
Yep.
Or do I go to Hall of Famer Gronk, or, and let's not forget what's transpired in the last 3 weeks, Leonard Fournette legit catches the ball out of the backfield like a boss.
He does.
And now he's become the guy because of it.
Yeah, there was a meaningless catch early in the game that put us in either a 2nd and 4 or 3rd and 4. It was along the upper sideline on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
That I was like, did he catch that?
Yeah.
And he damn sure did catch that ball.
Yeah.
The transformation of Leonard Fournette, it's twofold. You get to – we're so used to, as Bucs fans, placing blame. You don't have to do a lot of blame game
praise.
Anymore.
You give
the
praise.
Where everywhere. Do we place the praise?
Yeah, probably Brady.
And Bruce Arians for sitting his ass last year.
Yeah, a little fire.
You got to get his attention.
Let him know he wasn't going to be here, basically.
And look at the response in the playoffs.
It's
then
crazy.
We all know the story about on the eve of the Super Bowl when Brady reaches out to Fournette in the dead of night, texts him and says, you could go crazy in this game.
The legend grows. You know, my brother lives in New Hampshire. One of my brothers lives in New Hampshire. And this is a complicated, convoluted story, but I want to
get... The land of the BS ground rule doubles?
Well, yeah, oh my Lord, that is unreal what happened there. And that's not on Boston. That's the lucky break for Boston, but that is on Major League Baseball to have that rule. Anyhow, they got to re-examine it. It's the Bert Emanuel rule of baseball. So here's what I would tell you. He's an adopted brother, but he's my brother nonetheless. The reason that's germane to the story is that he's actually originally from Massachusetts. And so he grew up all things Boston. Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, New England Patriots, you name it. So when he ended up, and I'll skip the whole big part of his life, when he ended up being an air traffic controller there at Logan in Boston, you know, he settled down in New Hampshire, wife, kids, the whole deal. So he, at his core, loves the Patriots, right? But he spent much of his life in Tampa. So that's his second team. When Brady came to Tampa, and he listens to us on the Scuttlebucks, he listens to my show and with you all the time, he said, Jeff, I know that the whole of the NFL that is not New England has great disdain for Tom Brady because they see the success and the arrogance, and he is aloof. He's a good-looking guy. He's had more success than anybody should be allowed to have, all of that, right? TB12 stuff that we make fun of, all of it. He's like, I'm just telling you, if you watch him the way that I've watched him over these years in New England, you're going to change your opinion. And I said, well, what do you mean? I already know he's great. I'm not ever going to argue that. He's like, no, you're going to like him. And you're going to like him because of all the things you're going to read about that his teammates say. And all these moments where he clearly makes them better because of his work ethic, because of his attention to detail, because of phone calls in the dead of night, right, like that to a Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Like, these things are going to transform the way you think about him. And Tom, I'll be damned. Here we are. It's just year two, and we're both like, yeah. It's everything everybody said, annoyingly so when it was for somebody else.
Yeah, I didn't say yeah. I went, wait, it's real? That's actually a real thing?
It's all real.
It's not like, you know, Mike Greenberg on ESPN saying the Brady, and like you've just got to sit there and take it as if you're not in that market.
Yeah.
And then we see it, and yes, he changed the habits. He's done it. And again, that's, in a way, it makes me more fired up about yesterday's result than I should be, because I could tell you that a lot of people down there, my friends, a lot of Bucks fans, I'm sure they're thinking, oh, it's a cakewalk. We're going to beat Miami. The circumstances of that game are much more dangerous than the vacuum of evaluating those two teams as they were presently constructed at kickoff. There's a big difference between the circumstance and the paper. And we made the circumstance still look like the paper.
Mm-hmm.
One player who had a really big game, I looked at the PFF grades. Again, I'll always use the caveat, not gospel, but when you're grading the trenches, I like that because it's tough to know what the hell you're looking at and what is asked of certain players. Ryan Jensen is the leading candidate for most improved player from 1 week to the next. He bounced back. His grades were through the roof yesterday after he was terribly graded in the New England game. That's a player that always has an interesting relationship with 12 because he'll take the aggressive penalties, sometimes stupid, sometimes he'll induce other plays. And he's drawn the ire of Brady in Tom's short time here. You've seen a sideline incident or two.
But I think he likes him. I think they're
for the right reasons.
He's a nasty SOB that you want in your corner.
You need that enforcer. Ali Marpet is our best offensive lineman this season, and it's not close.
Right.
But he's not exactly an enforcer. If he's mad, it's rare. If Jensen's mad, you're like, well, it's a play. It's football. It's a Sunday. This is how he is.
Yeah, but also, people know, don't stand around. I mean, that guy is going to
– Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll clean you up. Now, and I love there is that intimidating. Look, for years we would watch other teams' linemen do things like that, and you'd be like, you cheap shot. But you kind of admired it. You're kind of like, well, everybody knows the deal with that dude.
Yeah,
he ain't having it. And I wanted one. Give me one of those guys.
Yeah, he keeps things in order.
Yeah. Give me one of those guys. I want one of those guys. We've got one of those guys, without question. If you've got your eye on a new Ford truck, maybe you want a new lease or something like that, or out of your old lease and into a new Ford truck, reach out directly to Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan. He will help you personally. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com or come to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans, you guys already know that. They've served the community for many, many years, and that's why a lot of Bucks players and coaches find their way to Bill Curry Ford. That's Vita Vea, for example, Ali Marpet, aforementioned. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, GM Sean Sullivan will assist you personally. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. You can also check their inventory there.
Yeah, come on. Support those businesses that supported Buccaneers football talk and even Tampa Bay Lightning talk before these championships. You know, there are a lot of businesses that are going to jump on board now and make sure their name's on the marquee next to the Buccaneers logo, Ray J.
Indeed.
How about the businesses that supported all of these ventures before, you know, things got really good? You want to stick with people who are more consistent. That's what Bill Curry Ford brings to the table, consistency.
Yeah, and so do the Bucks. That's 15 of 25 games since Brady's been here that we've scored 30 or more points. It will be, I think, after this game against Philadelphia, another one.
You raised an interesting point when you were quoting Leonard Fournette and talking about the Hall of Famers. I'm wondering now, if I go to a Bucks game this season, doesn't matter who the opponent is, like I'm not even going to count players on the opponent's team, will I see more Hall of Famers at a Buccaneers game than I did when I was at the Ryder Cup. World Golf Hall of Famers versus because I think it's actually closer. When you look at it, Ndamukong's going to be a Hall of Famer? Yeah?
Probably, yeah, I think so. Sure.
Levante David doesn't have enough all-pro votes to be a shoe-in, but damn it, man. You know,
he's had a career for the
If you've got a heady crew of voters, he might be in there. We liked it. I mean, obviously Brady, that's three. Gronk is four. Antonio Brown, if they, you know, as long as he's not incarcerated.
He needs to have another 2 to 3 really good seasons while staying out of trouble.
Sure. That's five. Evans is already off to that kind of start. Only he and Randy Moss have hit certain plateaus.
Yeah.
So that's six. We like Marpet probably at some point. I mean, he's been a beast for 4 or 5 years
now. He's a great player. It's hard to project those linemen, though. We'll see.
Okay. I feel like I'm missing one or two other guys that are just
no-brainers.
Devin White's on his way.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman. All right. Do you think he's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Probably, but it feels weird to call him one of our own. But, yeah, if you witness it.
How many people are you seeing?
So
you're getting upwards of maybe 5 to 6 shoe-ins and then another 3 or 4 probables because you know how this thing works. If we actually built a dynasty and Brady's here for 3 or 4 more years – let's say you win 3 Super Bowls and get greedy, and you go deep to the playoffs, and he's here for 6 years. There are going to be dudes that are okay players on our team that just get thrown in there, like the great Steelers teams of the past. That's just how that works.
I want to give we're talking about the guy, the GOAT, the Hall of Famer in Tom Brady. He made me laugh yesterday. Did you watch the post-game presser? Just elements of it. I always check back just to hear what their thoughts. I want to check for injury, but I always listen just a little bit to see whether he was asked about how much better of a runner he's been this year, and because he had the surgery, and that offseason surgery, we didn't think anything of it, and he said, "Do I look faster? I feel a lot faster. I think I'm pretty fast." That's just great. And that one run, he actually did look faster.
He looked faster.
Not fast, but he looked faster.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I'm like, okay.
I just had a laugh yesterday. I went out to watch the 1 o'clock window because the Bucs game was not available locally here.
Right.
CBS had the Jags game. That's lovely.
Not what you do.
And the wife's Vikings won on a walk-off kick. So we were there, and when Brady sat down finally, you wonder because Peyton Manning never let Osweiler have a single drive.
No.
So I wondered if he was going to let him. Gabbert comes in. And Brady looks like he's built his own cabana over there. You see that? I mean, like, he's got his hand in the ice bucket, fucking, and we'll have to watch that on Thursday and see
the thumb,
hit the helmet on the follow-through, the throw.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a cabana set up over there. He's just chilling, man. That looks like a pretty enjoyable place on the sidelines. You know, we didn't have those canopies for a long time, but for Brady, we got to get people with the palm branches,
whatever he needs, man. Because I have – you know what? You can laugh at things like that and actually kind of tongue-in-cheek say, well, get him, get somebody feeding them grapes. Do whatever they got to do. Because he works. So you're saying, that's fine. Be pampered all you want to be. Be whatever. Whatever you got to do, you got to do because we know you're working. We know you're going to work. And obviously he's productive. I mean, those numbers, we'll sign off on this note. He is thrown for, you brought it up earlier, I think you said 1,767 yards?
Yeah, it's nearly 400 more than Allen, who's the odds-on favorite to win the MVP now.
It also leads the NFL.
Right.
So that's the point. It leads the National Football League. He's one touchdown behind Patrick Mahomes for touchdowns thrown this year. He's got 15. Mahomes has 16. Mahomes has got problems of his own right now. That Chiefs defense is no bueno. Tom Brady's averaging almost 355 yards passing a game.
That Chiefs defense, if you look at some advanced metrics, is within the top 10 worst of all time through 5 games. That's how bad it is.
That's been terrible. Do you know we're going to do the home run game here? Guy starts the season, first 3 weeks, has 10 home runs, and he's on pace to hit 95
right,
home runs.
Right, yeah.
Brady's on pace to throw for over 6,000 yards.
I don't think that's crazy.
That's just 6,000 yards.
Dudes are always open. I think we would hit the prop yesterday again on the long completion for Brady.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one to Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I mean, now that's a catch and run.
That's a really nice anticipatory throw.
It is. Romo did a great job of breaking that down.
He did.
Because
he's thrown to a spot that's can't even see the receiver.
That's actually one thing yesterday. You look at some of the grades, and I'm thinking, maybe Brady bailed out some guys because he traded physical punishment to make quite a few throws yesterday. Miami was on the brink of making a lot of plays, and that was where the game got a little bit frustrating. I won't, you know, circle back to it for too long. It was an outright blowout, but we saw this in college at a Jacoby Brissett. Dude's slippery, man. That dude is slippery. Like, you think you've got him in the grasp, and then he'll break away and he'll throw it. He'd be like Neo from the Matrix. He's floating off the ground, and he'll complete it for 6 yards. Like, how the hell does that happen? But on the other side, you saw just as much toughness out of 12. He took a lot of hits yesterday.
Yeah. No, he's good.
One of which was a failed protection from 80, where I think Romo was alertly saying, this is where you miss Gronk. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Gronk the blocker was the dude last year. That's where I fell in love with that player was, yeah, he had the two touchdowns in the Super Bowl, and it's got the memes and stuff, and that's really cool. But throughout the playoffs, a sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah, he manhandles people. And that is the biggest thing about his career. He was always a physical mismatch against anybody trying to cover him because he's ungodly fast for a man that size. But he's superhuman strong. I mean, he breaks people's backs when he gets his hands inside. I mean, it's crazy the way he bends ends and tackles. I mean, that's not who you want to grab you. He is an impeccable blocker in the sense that his technique is sound, but he's super strong.
Well, yeah, he's got the hands the size of Mini Coopers.
I mean, it's just wrong. Yeah. I mean, when he slaps those paws on you and he gets inside the pads, when you're not going anywhere but back. You see frustration, too. A lot of times they'll go to the hands of the face because they get pissed off. They know. getting out.
And then what the hell do you do with it? Because then he gets his hands on you, you're like, oh, I'm going for a ride. Then he lets go and releases into a route, and you're supposed to be covering him.
Yeah, good luck.
That's just totally unfair.
Yeah, no, it's a toughie. Not a lot bad to say this week, guys. We'll end it on that note. We'll be back with you on Wednesday because the game is Thursday. So
go a couple extra minutes on Wednesday,
too. Quick turnaround for you here. We'll get that done for you on Wednesday. Look forward to it, in fact. But nothing but glowing praise for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a 45-17 win. No reason to get nitpicky. Let's hope for continued health as they build towards, obviously, the second half of the season. Still a lot of games to be played, but they look good for now. For Tom Wang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate our friends at Bill Curry Ford as well. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Go Bucks!